You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back. Good morning. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin today. We're in that month of September where all sorts of sports here in the state are coinciding with each other, but it's really about the Packers right now. We'll talk about the Brewers. We still love them, but the Packers are red hot, getting a 2-0 record already within the first week of regular play. And that's why I talked to Paul Noonan. He's our sports guru at Matt and Air on Air, and he broke down why the Packers are doing so good so soon and why the green and gold may be taking it all the way this season.
Two of the best teams in football from last season.
Yeah.
Things change a lot from year to year. We'll see how. I think the Lions have to be on fraud watch a little bit, but it's also possible the Packers are just a buzzsaw because they haven't just won these last two games. They have absolutely destroyed both teams. Their defense in particular has been just an absolute buzzsaw. The Micah Parsons edition, I don't think could be understated in its importance. They really just needed a pass rush to kickstart everybody else. After him, everybody's fast. This is one of the fastest teams in football. Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker are like the fastest linebackers in football. Evan Williams in the safety area is one of the fastest safeties in football. Gary and Lucas Van Ness are two of the most athletic other edge rushers besides Parsons. And once he's pressuring quarterbacks, there's no place to throw. The coverage has been sticky. The Packers have been an offensive-based team for as long as I've been alive. They've had a smattering of good defenses here and there. This may end up being the best defense they've had since like the Lombardi era. They look that good this early.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question, and I don't mean spill tea. No, it's not. I don't know. I'm not a youth. I don't know how the kids talk. I don't know. I don't want to directly contradict you, though, Paul. But in the Acme Packing Company, according to your colleague Justice Mosqueda, said Packers Justice, Packers beat Commanders 27-18 in what should have been a blowout. Now it looked like a comfortable victory when I was catching up. I'm like, all right, they're winning, great. But apparently,
So Justice is right about that. But that is not because of the defense did anything wrong.
Okay.
Just the 18 points the Commanders scored a late touchdown. Debo Samuel got one that where the Packers were just trying to run clock. That's not the thing. They left points on the field. Poor Matthew Golden, the Packers rookie wide receiver, who looks very, very good, but hasn't had production to match yet. He had two targets in this game. Both of them were overthrows by Jordan Love. Both of them would have been touchdowns. One was underthrown when he was wide open in the middle of the end zone and should have been an easy touchdown. And one would have been like a 97-yard touchdown that he overthrew by like an inch and a half. Those plays should have worked, frankly. They resulted in, I think, a turnover on downs for the first one. And then there was also just a random holding in the NFL is a call that I feel like officials sometimes make just to keep things interesting because there's holding on every play. And so you can always call it.
Yeah.
And so they do. On the Packers' third drive, I believe it was, after they had already scored twice, there was a holding penalty that just wasn't. It was one of the rare plays when there was not an actual holding penalty that occurred, and it just doomed the drive. It moved them from 2nd and 2 to 2nd and 12, and that drive likely would have resulted in points, too. They left points on the field. I mean, one of the scariest things about this Packer team is that's two games in a row where I think they've left a couple touchdowns on the field just by little tiny issues, little overthrows, little things they did wrong. They can get better. They have dominated these games while not being perfect. If they put a perfect game together, it's going to be like a 40-point blowout. And I think that's really what Justice meant here.
What I think is I understand. I just wanted to start a little tiff because I'm a sassy boy. I feel like that can be equated to how long would basketball games be if they called everyone for traveling? Because sometimes I'm like, wow, you're not even trying to bounce the ball right now. You're just walking up to the hoop and just being like, nope, I get this because I'm me. There you go. Calvin, what are any thoughts you have on what's going on?
Well, I guess just more of a question as sort of an aside about the Packers receiving depth. Is there any chance that Christian Watson is going to play this season?
So there is probably a chance, but it won't be until very, very late. For those who don't know, Christian Watson at the end of last season suffered a pretty catastrophic knee injury. The Packers did just extend him this last week. He was going to be basically a free agent at the end of the season. And both the Packers and Christian Watson don't really want that. Nobody's going to pay for a receiver with the kind of injury he had until he shows that he can recover from it. And the Packers honestly could use Christian Watson. They still lack for deep threats a little bit. Romeo's been good so far, but it's not really his wheelhouse. And so they signed kind of a prove-it contract for next year. The timeline for the level of knee injury he has can be up to a full year, and it's just really monitoring how he progresses. If he is back, it probably won't be until like November at the earliest, more likely December, and it is entirely possible he just misses the whole season. It was a bad one. There was a lot of damage to a lot of ligaments in that knee, and it's a long recovery period. So it'd be nice if they got him back like in time for the playoffs. He is a difference maker, but it's very speculative on how really you won't know how he recovers until he actually gets back out there and starts running. He's done a little bit. He's looked good so far, but there's still a ways to go.
Angela, you and I are casual Packers fans, but a victory is a victory. So how do you feel when you see things like this as just someone who enjoys watching?
Yeah, it's great. Also, my big thing is as long as we beat the Bears, I'm good. It's a good season if we beat the Bears. Bears still yep. suck. That's it.
There you go. Put that in the headlines. As long as we beat the Bears, Angela Lang is fine.
I am. I'm happy.
Big thanks to Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company for stopping by and breaking the information down for us with regard to sports, because we need his help because he is our sports guru. Him and J.R. Radcliffe, they come by every Thursday, so check it out. 10:35 on Matt and Air on Air. Also, big ups to Angela Lang, my co-host last week, who broke it down very simple at the end there. As long as the Bears keep losing, that's right, Southeastern Wisconsin, she said it and I just repeated it. So if you want to listen to that entire discussion, go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air, and download the episode with Paul Noonan on there talking about sports from last week on Friday, and you will be able to listen to the entire conversation, the entire breakdown, because we talk about way more, including the hot and heavy topic of stadium financing. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earl Ingram has a brand new show called What's Going On. You can find it at civicmedia.us/shows. On that program, he talks to people throughout the community who are leaders in their respective field. And today he speaks with Robert Miranda. In fact, this is another excerpt from their conversation. Robert is an activist, an advocate, as well as an organizer. And they are talking about the harm that could come our way in Milwaukee if federal troops are brought in to occupy our streets.
Let me ask you something, Robert. 38% of Americans have 25 and older have a college degree. 38%. And so when we're talking about these things that are pretty complex, you talk about civics. If the majority of the American people, because civics was taught in middle school and high school.
Right.
So the majority of the American people should know something about civics, but even if they knew it and they got it at a very young age, they've forgotten it by now. The fact that they are now controlling, and they have, as you stated, for a long time, the educational system, what is transpiring in this country didn't happen overnight. Okay, so we can say, and people can say, well, look at what Donald Trump has done. Look at what Donald Trump is doing. The magnitude of what is transpiring in this country right now, Robert, has been, this has been put together over half a century, the planning to do what is happening right now. And this is, in my opinion, why we are at such a dangerous point in time. Mm-hmm. Because Donald Trump is one person. Donald Trump will be off the scene. Maybe not soon enough for some of us, but the things that are being put in place right now are going to be everlasting.
Right.
And because, again, he's not doing this on his own. And the fact that that Project 2025, that many people kind of, that can't happen, is right in the middle of happening. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, so they were able to move on this inside of 6 months. What they've been able to do, Robert, in 6 months' time with Donald Trump is when they came in with their plan in place and they came in on the ground running. And so they put all this in place in 6 months. He's got 3.5 more years. Mm-hmm. They've gotten all of this in place. They're going to tighten it up over the next three. Can you imagine what it's going to be? Man. Well, in 3.5 years from now.
You cannot sustain something like this without fuel, okay? And what is that fuel? What is the fuel that they need to sustain this? What is the fuel that they need and that it's going to be like a nuclear reactor that's just going to continue to fuel
the ship?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hatred. Hate is that fuel. And so as long as they continue to promote hate with their policy, that movement that they currently are on is going to continue. And as long as people in their base continue to eat that up, the policy they don't understand is also hurting them.
Right.
You know, the Medicaid, for example, is being taken from them.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't care. Because to them, it's beating up on the liberal. It's stopping these non-white people from getting ahead. You know, I just don't like it when I see a successful black man in a suit in a nice car, and I'm here driving this damn Pinto. You know, it is that hate.
Look at how you're treating immigrants. Okay, mm-hmm. let's just lay it on the table. So they brought the National Guard into Washington, D.C. They brought them into California. Now they're talking about Chicago and other places. And we're coming in there under the guise of bringing down crime. Are you aware that they're arresting immigrants? Are people aware that they're being used now to gather up immigrants and under the guise of they're criminals,
right?
But then they're saying, well, a certain percentage of them,
they're arresting immigrants who are in court,
yes,
getting their papers and getting everything in order to be legal,
yeah.
You know, in order to do what they've been doing to live a dream that they've always lived, and that's to live the American way of life.
Which is what we have
fought, bled, and died
for that, right?
And again, what you talk about when they say, oh, this is a white nation, this will always be a white nation. But it was a nation that was also built on the backs of black slavery. And it's also the reason why thereafter the history of slavery, for example, Smithsonian.
Right.
Because they don't want future generations to understand that slavery and the black people of this country were also, in the beginning of this country, a major part in the building of this country.
I highly suggest you listen to that entire conversation between Earl Ingram and Robert Miranda, and you can find that by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for his new program, What's Going On with Earl Ingram, and you can download the episode right there to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back. I played new music for you, and this is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. He's not just the political editor of Civic Media. He's not just the founder of the Recombobulation Area. He's not just my coworker, but he's also my friend. He's Dan Schaefer. And he stopped by to talk about something that's going to be taking place very, very soon that will affect you if you live in Milwaukee, drive in Milwaukee. Man, if you can spell Milwaukee, this is going to affect you for the next few years. And I bet you can guess what it already is. All right, Dan, you're here today, and that means you're bringing me something uniquely southeastern Wisconsin. What do you have for the folks?
Well, you know what? We have certain seasons here in Wisconsin, don't we?
Yes.
We have winter, and we have construction.
Oh, construction. It's really the season for giving.
It really is. That's what people call it, the season for giving. No, but there's been a whole lot of construction on the highways and roads in and around southeastern Wisconsin for much of the spring and summer months here. And there's a little bit more coming now in the fall as well. And that actually connects to one of the biggest projects that is slated to happen on the highways in southeastern Wisconsin over the next few years, which is the I-94 East-West Freeway Project.
We've talked about infrastructure before, on and off the air, and I feel like this was all done at one point, and now 94 is being worked on again, or are these separate projects outside of the major highway expansion work they did a few years ago?
So this is basically expanding the highway, adding a lane in each direction, and reconfiguring the stadium interchange. So this is between the Zoo interchange and the Marquette interchange. And so this is really from about 16th Street in Milwaukee through 70th. And including one of the biggest pieces of the reconstruction here is the stadium interchange where Highway 175 meets I-94 right at the at American Family Field.
I can tell you right now, the Zoo interchange isn't bad. It's actually, after the rebuild, it's pretty straight ahead. The Ballpark interchange is confusing, as is, I feel like, so is the Marquette interchange. You have three right after another when as you get closer to Milwaukee between the lakefront, Marquette, and the baseball stadium.
It's a lot. It's a lot of highways. It's a lot of overpasses. It's a lot of on-ramps. It's a lot of stuff going on there.
It's a lot of, oh no, we should have went that way.
And so we are at an interesting point here for the East-West project. So this is a project that has been bandied about in various forms for quite some time now. It initially came up under Scott Walker's leadership when he was governor. They were even talking about building a double-decker freeway or something like that. Those projects eventually did not happen. Tony Evers, however, reignited this in 2020, saying that they were going to seek to expand the highway, widen the highway, add a lane in each direction here as well. But that got kind of pushed to the side as far as like the actual shovels in the dirt part of the project when they needed to do an updated environmental impact statement in 2021, essentially. And now, if you look at the East-West website on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's breakdown here, they have three pieces of this project. They have environmental and alternative analysis, they have design, and they have utility and roadway construction. So the environmental and alternative analysis has been going on for much of the past few years now when Evers kind of brought back this project. Design began in 2022, and we are now at a space where if you look at that site, all three are included into kind of like the "we are here" spot in the graphic here. So utility and roadway construction is essentially starting now. Construction for this project is slated to begin in late 2025. It is supposed to last into 2032. So this is going to be a road project that we are going to be seeing in southeastern Wisconsin for quite some time.
I won't lie, you kind of lost me at 2032.
And I saw your mind go blank there when I said the year that extends into the 2030s now, yes.
Look, I'm all for infrastructure. I'm all for repair. I'm all for modernization, especially if that means we're going to make the ways of getting to and from Milwaukee easier. But that is just, I mean, if it starts this year, which according to the website, I may start, may not start. If it starts in 2026, that means we're looking at 6, maybe 7 years of construction on just that spot alone. And that's not a huge area. That means a lot of inconvenience. It means a lot of congestion. And it means that people are going to really have to rework the ways they come to and from work or to and from home.
Yes. And there will be some mitigation, what they call mitigation projects that are connected to this as well. And that is what has actually started to be under construction as of this summer. So part of the larger I-94 East-West project is the National Avenue Mitigation Project. And what this is basically getting National Avenue prepared to handle larger volumes of traffic of people who are not going to be on the highway. So National Avenue, one of the main east-west connecting streets, State Highway 59 that goes through the city of Milwaukee, just south of the interstate. And, fans of the Milwaukee Brewers will be well aware of this part of the kind of highway system here where you're getting on and off the highway at that stadium interchange. The main east-west thoroughfare there is National Avenue, and construction began in July on this National Avenue mitigation project that is kind of setting up the larger construction that is set to begin in earnest before the end of the year.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I don't like it either, but it's what we must go through to live in a civilized society. Thank you to Dan Schaefer for being here, always bringing us the update for southeastern Wisconsin. I'm certainly waiting for the day he says there's free ice cream throughout the community, but, you know, I can be patient. And I want you to be patient, too, because there's actually a part two to that conversation as far as what the city and state will do during these projects to help those who are driving on those roads every single day. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you thought we were done talking about sports, well, you are out of your mind. And earlier, we talked to Paul Noonan about everything happening in the world of football, and we're going to take a turn now to widen the scope a little bit with Don Rosen, who spoke with Mike Clemens, our very own sports reporter here at Civic Media.
The Packers winning again, this time 27-18 over a Washington Commanders team that went to the playoffs last year. Matter of fact, NFC Championship game, and their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, this kid, he scrambles. He can, release the ball accurately, 60 yards downfield. And Jeff Hafley, the Packers defense coordinator, had a great game plan against him. And this kid, I mean, they hit him 12 times. They sacked him 4 times. He was on the run all night long, and they held him to 3 points heading into the fourth quarter last night. So it's just another outstanding performance by the Packers defense. Micah Parsons got into Green Bay, it was 2 weeks ago yesterday after that huge trade with the Dallas Cowboys. But it's everybody that's contributing now. Lucas Van Ness got a sack. And I was talking to the safety for the Packers, Xavier McKinney. Like, have you ever seen so many fast guys on a defense like that? And he said, no. He says, I almost had nothing to do tonight. He said, because, you know, we were getting such good pressure from the linebackers like Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, who was playing out of his mind. We just shut down the Commanders' offense. So now they get the weekend off, and then next week we head to Cleveland, and where they're going to host, they're going to take on the Browns for a noon game. And I'm going to try and get there early on Saturday and see if I can get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. You ever been there?
No, I would love to go. Chubby Checker, for the first time, was just inducted, or he will be inducted this month, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame since he's been cranking out the tunes in the early 60s, and he's not even going to be there for it. He's been wanting to go there for years, get in there, and now he's not going to. He's going to be performing somewhere, he said. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's what's going on with the Packers. Now, unfortunately, they had a bad injury. Jaden Reed's one of their top receivers. He's running out for a pass down the right-hand side, leaps out, you know, reaches to catch it, 39 yards. It actually would have been nullified because a rookie offensive tackle they had filling in last night, Anthony Belton, I think it was a holding penalty. But he's reaching out, and he lands on the shoulder, and he comes, you know, jogging off. X-rays, broken collarbone. And, you know, he'll be out till December with that, if he comes back this season at all. So that was, you know, a huge setback for the Packers. They're going to hope to get Christian Watson back, one of their star receivers, from a torn ACL maybe next month. They just signed him to a new $13.2 million one-year contract extension. But that's a big minus for the Packers offense.
Does the word Commanders roll off your tongue yet? Washington Commanders? Because when I hear it...
You know what they were for 70-plus years?
Yeah, the Redskins.
The other thing. Yeah. Yeah. And Wayne said that by mistake last night in the Packers game, and he bit his tongue. Oops, sorry. He apologized, you know. I mean the Commanders. No, they come out with those jerseys. And I saw, I ran into some people. I ran into Mike McCarthy and got to talk to him, the former Packers head coach. He was back last weekend for the Super Bowl 45 reunion they had at halftime. And, you know, he told me that, after he got fired from Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, Jerry brought him in for a meeting in June. But he's cleaned up his house and moved back to Green Bay. He's got an eighth grader. Their youngest is in eighth grade, so he's going to all her games and stuff and spent the summer on his boat in Door County. But he's back in Green Bay. That's where they live. That's where he met his wife, Jessica. And he got invited to, you know, sit in a suite at a game last night, so why not? So I got to see him. And then I saw Doug Williams, who was a quarterback for Washington when they had that other name before, back in 1988, and they won the Super Bowl. And he threw four touchdown passes, and they stomped the John Elway and the Broncos like 42-10 in that one, and he was named the MVP. But he's a big dude, 6'4", walked around over there on the Washington side of the press box last night.
I like the way you said that on there, like the former name, like the name that must not be spoken.
Well, you know.
I just like the way you said that. Yeah. The other name they used to have.
You know.
Like, it's like when Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince, remember that?
Yeah, artistly formerly known as the Redskins. I mean the Commanders.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about college football.
Badgers are going to be playing a game in Alabama for the first time ever, in, you know, historic. So they're going to be in Tuscaloosa. Isn't there a Groucho Marx joke about that? Something about...
Yes, Tuscaloosa, yeah.
I was hunting elephants in Africa, but in Alabama, the Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, anyway, that's right. Yeah, that's it.
So they kick off at 11 o'clock, and Alabama's 19th ranked in the country. They are 21-point favorites in the game. They came to Madison last year and beat the Badgers pretty bad. I think it was the same score as that Super Bowl, 42-10. But I did find there was one time the Badgers beat Alabama, 1928. 15-0 at the old Camp Randall Stadium back then. So Luke Fickell's, you know, going to hope that he can pull off the upset of the year.
Roll Tide. Excuse me. Go Badgers. I screwed up there for a second. I'm sorry. You know, when I lived down south, between Georgia Tech the University of Georgia and Alabama, because it was all like our radio station covered all that area. Whoa, it's like a circus on Saturday afternoons when you live down south.
And as a reminder, if you're running around town and you can't get your hands on a terrestrial traditional radio, you can always listen to us live on the Civic Media app. Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store. It's absolutely free. That's a pun for you. Free on a Monday. Listen to us whenever, wherever you want, live all over the world. I'm telling you, we've gotten text messages from the following places: Vienna, New Zealand, New Brunswick, New Jersey. That's global reach. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. It is 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.